in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Father, we reference your presence already in our midst. We declare that the eyes of our understanding is flooded with light. Thank you for the rain of the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, granting us insight into mysteries and secrets. Thank you, Father, for anointing our eyes with eye salves, that we may see what you are saying. Thank you, Father, for granting us insight into privileged information contained in your word. Thank you for opening our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of your word. Thank you for a seeing eye, a hearing ear, and a wise and an understanding heart. We give you the glory, we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Come on, clap your hands, oh you people. Is anybody excited to be in God's presence this evening? You will clap, you will shout, you will rejoice. Come on, rejoice. Hallelujah. You might be seated in heavenly places. Welcome you all to this feast of light and fat things. God already has fat portions already prepared for us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Today we commence our February apostolic teaching series, and I love this. I love this so much. I love this particular series that we are looking at. And interestingly, this is the first teaching series for the year 2024. I thought you'll be excited about that. Hallelujah. It's titled The Unforced Redeems of Grace. You know, somebody saw this. Ah, which one be unforced redeems? It's na redeems and blues that they do for HGMI now. Let's look at where we got that from. Matthew 11:28. Yes, we are starting a very exciting, very thrilling journey, an adventure, an exploration into the riches of God's grace. Am I communicating? Glory to God. Like you will get to know in the course of this series that Christianity is all about the grace of God. You will get to understand. If you don't understand what we are teaching, if you don't understand this grace, your Christianity will be a failure. Am I communicating? Without a solid understanding of the concept of God's grace, I'm telling you, Christianity will be a very frustrating, and it will be very frustrating, full of struggles, sweating, toiling. It will just be reduced to another religion. Boring religion. Am I communicating? What an important topic, even though grace is more than a topic. I know we treat it as a subject, as a topic, but it's more than a topic. Am I communicating? Please pay rapt attention as we go on this journey. to explore the riches of God's grace. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You are burdened. And I will give you what? Rest." Hallelujah. Humanity was laboring under the whiplash of the tyrannical rule of Satan after the fall of man. Under that terrorist government of Satan, humanity was suffering the whiplash of the devil. Humanity was heavy burdened. Humanity was in captivity, in slavery, in bondage. The Bible says, by one man's offense, death reigned. It was a reign of spiritual death. And spiritual death, occasioned by the fall of man, occasioned by the introduction of the sin nature, am I communicating? Was reigning. It was a terrorist government. It was so terrible. After the fall of man, then God in his infinite love decided to give us the solution. Hence the coming of Jesus the Messiah. And look at Jesus giving an invitation. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and you are heavy laden." Am I communicating? You are laboring, you are heavy laden under the yoke of sin, under the yoke of sickness, poverty, debt, failure, frustrations, endless struggles, sweating and toiling, all as a result of the fall of man. Jesus is giving a standing invitation. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus will give you rest from every stress. Amen. He said, "I will give you rest. Rest from stress. Rest from struggles. Rest from every form of sweating and toiling without result. Fruitless labor." He said, "I will give you rest." Glory to God. And you will later see that the way and manner that he gives us rest is through the unforced rhythms of his grace that he releases to us. Am I communicating? Next verse. Maleko Bosha. He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Glory to God. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." How many of you know that we are, you know, Paul uses this very interesting phrase. He said, Paul, a bond servant of our Lord Jesus Christ. He calls himself a bond servant. Am I communicating? Before we got born again, we were servants of Satan. We were slaves in the kingdom of darkness. But now that Jesus had delivered us from the authority of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son or his loved son. Am I communicating? We are now in the kingdom of light. The day you got born again, you became a bona fide citizen of God's beloved kingdom. You are in the kingdom of love. You are in the kingdom of light. And guess what? We are called love slaves of Jesus Christ. When Paul called himself a bond servant, you know there are two types of servant. There is hired servant and bond servant. Okay, the Jews understand that very well. A hired servant works for his master for an agreed period of time, after which the master releases him. It's called freedom. Or on the in the year of Jubilee, in the Old Testament, every year of Jubilee there is a release and all slaves are freed. Am I communicating? Now that is a hired servant. But guess what? A bond servant is he that out of his own choice, his own volition, decided to relinquish his freedom He relinquishes his choice of leaving his master. And he looks at the master. After he has served, and the master says, "You can go. You've been good. You've done well. I'm releasing you." And then he looked at the master. He said, "You've been so good to me. I love you so much. I'm giving up my choice and decision of leaving you. I'm giving up this freedom. I want to serve you for the rest of my life. Make me your bond servant." In the Old Testament, the master will give such servant a mark. Am I communicating? He will put a mark, some on their ears, some on their back, some on their hand, some on the leg. But the master will put a particular mark on that bond servant to show that this is now my property. I own him. Am I communicating? So that was what Paul meant when he uses that expression. Paul, a bond servant. That means we have become his love slave. A translation puts it this way: Paul, a love slave. We are his slave motivated by love. Am I communicating? So we are forever yoked to him. Are you seeing something there? That's what Jesus meant when he said, "Take my yoke upon you." In other words, become my bond servant. But this time around, it's not like the wicked slavery that we suffered when we were in the kingdom of darkness. This yoke here is a very good yoke. Am I communicating? It's a good yoke. The Bible says we are ambassadors for Christ. It's representative, and also his representation on the earth. Am I communicating? He gives us responsibilities to carry out as his bond servants. It's part of the yoke. Glory to God. We have laid down our will. We have given up our freedom. Now that we are in Christ, the statement is, "Your will is my command." Say with me, the name of Jesus. Lord, your will is my command. I live to do your will. I lay down my will, and I choose to do your will. Your will has become my eternal will. Anything you say I should do, I gladly do. You see that? That is how bond servants are. They don't have a will of their own. Praise God. He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly." Jesus is very humble. As you will later see, that meekness, humility, is a major secret of grace. When I start teaching on how to grow in grace, because the Bible says we should grow in grace. Grace is in levels. Am I communicating? The Bible says God resists the proud, he gives more grace to the humble. You see that? So he says, "Learn of me." The number one thing you should learn there is humility, the meekness of Jesus, is lowliness of heart. The Bible says he took upon himself no reputation. He died like a common criminal, even the death of the cross. Though he was equal with God, but he didn't clinch to his own right as a member of the Godhead. Am I communicating? He laid down every right and authority that accrued to him as a member of the Godhead, and then took our place as the second and the last Adam, bore our punishment, died a very shameful and disgraceful death on the cross as our substitute. Am I communicating? He's trying to show you the level of humility of Jesus. Even the death of a criminal. He said, "Wherefore God has highly exalted him." Am I communicating? "And giving him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow." Everybody, every knee, every demon, every angel, everybody on earth, they submit to the authority. They recognize that the supreme authority in the name of Jesus. Am I communicating? He says, take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. When you learn of him, he says, you will find rest. Can you see two types of rest? In verse 28, he says, I will give you rest. In verse 29 of that same Matthew chapter 11, in verse 29, it says, you shall find rest. Give me the previous verse. I want you to see two kinds of rest. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. So the first kind of rest is given to us in Christ. Then verse 29, the second type of rest, say, ye shall find. The second type, you find it by revelation. Am I communicating? As you learn of him, what are you to learn of him that will make you find this rest? We'll find out. Because Jesus said, learn of me. When you learn of him in humility, he said, you shall find the second type of rest unto your souls. You will enter into your rest. Glory to God. Give us a message translation. Message translation. So, the first kind of rest is given. The second one is found. The first type of rest is given. The second one is found. Am I communicating? It says, walk with me. Can we read it together? One, two, three, go. Walk with me. And walk with me. No, we are not reading it well. Let's start. One, two, three, go. Walk with me and walk with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
So this is what Jesus is saying. When you learn of the unforced rhythms of grace, you shall find rest unto your soul. How will you find rest unto your soul? You learn of what? The unforced rhythms of grace. This is where we got our theme from for the apostolic teaching series for February. Learn the unforced. So for this today and the remaining 2 weeks, we'll be learning of what? The unforced rhythms of grace. Listen. Your struggle has ended. Listen, it is grace that terminates struggle. Because with grace comes supernatural ability. You begin to do with ease, supernatural ease. The things that used to be a struggle, you start doing them with supernatural ease. Then you will know that grace is at work. Am I communicating? No more struggles. Maliga Bagadaya, a grace is coming upon somebody. You begin to command excess without stress. Excess without stress. Excess without stress. Abundance without stress. Are you listening? He said, walk with me. And Enoch walked with God. He contacted such. He learned of the unforced rhythms of grace until he jogged out of this realm. Spirit, soul, and body. Are you getting me? He so communed with God. He so walked with God that the Bible says he was not. What? He was not. He was caught up and transferred to heaven. Spirit, soul, and body. He experienced private rapture. Even in the Old Testament. Am I communicating? Malagabaya. But the Bible says, before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. How did he please God? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Are you seeing this? Magabola kapataya. You walk with God. And then, did you notice the walk, W-A-L-K, came before the walk? Did you notice?
He says, walk with me and walk with me. Many are walking for Jesus, but they are not walking with him. You are putting the cart before the horse. What is the correct order? You walk with him first. It's talking of your relationship. Walking with God is talking of your relationship and fellowship with him. You are called first to walk with Jesus. So you must prioritize your walk above your walk. Are you seeing something? Don't change the order. Your personal relationship, your fellowship with Jesus should come first and should come ahead of your walk with him, including your service, your kingdom service. Are you seeing something? Don't become like Martha. Martha that was serving, preparing food to give Jesus. But she was not in communion with him. She was not walking with him. Jesus said, Martha, you have changed the order. He said, Mary was smart. She prioritized what? Fellowshipping with Jesus. Sitting at the master's feet, listening to his word. That's fellowship. That's relationship. He's talking of walking with Jesus. Okay? Jesus is not saying the serving, the works of service that Martha is doing is bad. The problem is her priority. Did you notice that? She is putting the cart before the horse. Am I communicating? It is your walk with God that determines the success or failure of your walk for him. In fact, the grace to do the work of the ministry, the grace to walk with Jesus and to walk for Jesus, you contact that grace where? By walking with him. Are you seeing something? You will struggle to do the work if you neglect the work. In fact, you will fail in the work without prioritizing the work. Are you seeing something? So he said, walk with me and walk with me. Watch how I do it. As if it's an action movie. He said, watch how I do it. Learn what? This is how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Say with me, in the name of Jesus, I receive grace. We are learning of the unforced rhythms of grace. It is the grace of God that empowers you to do effortlessly what is humanly impossible. When you learn of that unforced rhythms of his grace, glory to God. I say glory to God. By way of introduction, God the Father is called the God of all grace in 1 Peter 5 verse 10. God the Father himself is called the God of all grace. Glory to God. So if our Father is a God of all grace, we his children, we cannot lack grace. What are our names? If he's called the God of all grace, which we are children of grace too now. Are we not children of grace? Are we not byproduct of the new covenant? We are the byproduct of the new covenant. We are both the result and the beneficiary of the new covenant ratified by the blood of Jesus. And guess what? The new covenant ratified by the blood of Jesus is a covenant of grace. It's a covenant of grace. Are you listening? God is called the God of all grace. 1 Peter 5:10, you see, but the God of all grace, who has called unto his eternal glory, called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. So you see, the day you got born again, that was the day you were called to glory. But unfortunately, some people don't know this. Is when they say obituary, they say call to glory. To them, is when somebody died that the person is called to glory. Now, heaven is a land of glory. When people die, there is a higher dimension of glory in heaven. But listen. This is the correct one. The day you got born again, it was a call to glory.
I didn't say so. Look at it. And there are other scriptures to prove it. Am I communicating? The God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, any suffering more than a while is unscriptural. Any suffering more than a while is unscriptural. Listen, all of Job's problem was only 9 months. All the predicament, all the demonic, all the suffering, the sickness, everything Job suffered was only 9 months. The Bible talked about our light affliction. It didn't say strong, it said light. Our light, momentary, fleeting affliction, which is but for a moment. The affliction, look at some of the characteristics of the affliction. Number one, it is light. Not heavy, not strong. Number two, it is for a moment, not forever. Not forever. And he says, he's working for us a far more eternal weight of glory. He says, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect. Shout amen. Amen. Establish you. Shout amen. Amen. Strengthen you. Shout amen. Amen. And then settle you. You see, grace does all the above. Grace will perfect you or complete you. Grace will establish you. Grace will strengthen you. And grace will settle you. Can I prophesy to somebody? This month, God is settling, it is full settlement by his grace. This is your month of supernatural settlement by the grace of God. This is your month of supernatural strengthening. Receive an impartation of supernatural strength. Let every weakness leave your life now. Leave your body now. In the name of Jesus, receive impartation of supernatural establishment. My God is establishing you this season. He's establishing your business this season. God is establishing your career this season. God is establishing your academics. It's a season of all-round establishment for you. And by the impartation of great grace from the God of all grace, I decree and declare the things that used to be difficult, suddenly they have become smooth and easy, smooth and easy, smooth and easy, smooth and easy. No more struggles. Receive grace for divine ease. Hallelujah. You might be seated. God is called the God of all grace. His throne is called the throne of grace. Hebrews 4:16. The throne that God sits upon in heaven is called the throne of grace. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. In fact, this ministry, our Friday corporate prayer meeting is called Throne of Grace Encounter Service. He said, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Grace is waiting for you at the throne of grace. Grace and mercy, they are waiting for you there. Don't struggle for nothing. Allow God help you with his grace. When you are in need, run to him. Subscribe for grace and mercy. Am I communicating? They will bail you out of every situation. Kabbalah Kabashataya. The word of God is called the word of his grace. In Acts 14 verse 3, even the word of God is called the word of his grace. Acts 14 verse 3. Long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace. You see, God gave testimony unto the word of his grace. If you will preach the word of God's grace, the true word of God, testimonies must follow. Am I communicating? Because God will confirm his word preached with signs and wonders, and granted signs to be done by their hands. Acts 20:32. God's word is called the word of his grace in scriptures. Acts 20:32, verse 32. It says, Paul said, I commend you to God. And now, brethren, speaking to the believers in Ephesus, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. The word of God is called the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. What builds people up is the word of his grace. When you preach the word of his grace, people's lives and destinies are built up. Their faith is built up. Their spiritual life is built up. They grow, they mature. Am I communicating? Which is able to build you up. It does not make you weak. You should leave church built up, strengthened, upgraded, going from strength to strength, not feeling weak, not feeling beggarly. There are some people that they say they went to church, the message they heard left them weak and beggarly. They didn't hear the word of his grace. I'm telling you the truth. Which is able to build you up. The word of his grace is the number one faith builder, is the number one destiny builder, is the number one builder of your spirit, soul, and body. Paul is recommending, he said, if you want to be built up, go for the word of his grace and give you an inheritance. There is no inheritance for you outside of the word of his grace. Am I communicating? The inheritance there is talking of all the provisions of God's grace, the riches of his grace. He says the word of his grace has two missions. Number one, it will build you up. Number two, it will deliver your inheritance into your lap. It will give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Who are those that are sanctified? Fellow believers, born again Christians. Glory to God. I'm enjoying this one. Next point. The gospel of Christ is called the gospel of the grace of God. In Acts 20:24, the gospel of Christ is called the gospel of the grace of God. Paul said, but none of these things move me, neither can my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. The entire gospel of Christ is called the gospel of the grace of God because it is good news. The word gospel means good news, glad tidings, good tidings. Am I communicating? Good news about what? Glad tidings about what? Good tidings about what? About what Jesus has already accomplished for us through his substitutionary sacrifice, through his redemptive work, through his suffering, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, down to up to the seated position at the right hand of God the Father. Everything he procured for us by his blood sacrifice is what we mean when we talk about the gospel. So it's a gospel of grace. Are you seeing something? It's a gospel of grace. That was why I made the statement earlier that the whole of Christianity is all about the grace of God. Eh? Everything. I know. Just like any other teaching, people have abused the gospel of grace. People have abused the teachings on grace. It's not only grace. Almost any other topic, doctrine, people have abused it too. Even holiness has been abused. Are you getting me? Faith has been abused. Even prayer has been abused. There is no doctrine, no teaching, no subject that people have not abused. But one thing you should never forget, the whole of Christianity has to do with the grace of God. Without the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, there is no Christianity. Don't worry, all those excesses, abuse on concerning the subject of grace, we will deal with them. Trust me now. We will deal with them. From scripture, so we will iron them out and correct them. Glory to God. It's because of all those excesses here and there, wrong teachings on grace, abuse on grace, some people, their mind don't lock up. They don't even want to hear anything about grace again. Is that not a demonic deception? Some people say, the moment they see on false readings of grace, topic like this, they are already angry. Why? Because their mind has been schooled and programmed to attack anything that has to do with grace. Why? Because of so they have heard. Are you seeing something? By some erroneous teachers and false stuff like that, it has now poisoned them against the authentic message of grace. Eh? Did you stop using phone because somebody was using his own phone in a very bad way? Eh? Is all these Yahoo boys, Yahoo Plus, Yahoo Plus Plus, Yahoo Pro Max, is it not phone they use? And laptop? Did you stop using phone and laptop because of those that are abusing it? Are you seeing something? Did you stop using money? 1,000 naira note, 500 naira note, 200 naira, 100 naira note. Did you stop using it because there are fake ones in circulation? Are there fake naira notes? So why did you not stop believing in naira? Because there are fake ones in circulation. So why should you stop believing the message of grace just because of some charlatans? Are you getting my point? Listen, is proof that there is original. Did you hear what I just said? Anywhere you see fake is because there is original. The reason why there are fake miracles is because there are original miracles. There is, see, Satan is not creative. He only counterfeits everything that God does. Any good thing God does, Satan counterfeits it. The reason why there is fake anything is because there is original one in the first place. Is there fake 200 naira note? Yes. Why? Because there is original 200 naira note. Now, let me ask you a question. Is there fake 50 naira note? Yes. Because there is what? Original 50 naira note. But have you ever seen fake 15 naira note? 15 naira. 15 naira. Fake. You know why the people will not do? Because there is no original one in the fact. They will know that people will not even believe it at all. Because there is no original 15 naira note. Listen, the existence of the fake is proof that there is original. So don't allow those that have abused the message of grace, people that have brought in excesses here and there, to poison your mind to stop you from believing this truth. In fact, the whole gospel is about the grace of God. Are you seeing this? Paul called it the gospel of the grace of God. Hallelujah. Even the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Grace. Hebrews 10:29, Zechariah 4:6-7, Zechariah 12:10. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Grace. How much? You see all of that. Even Zechariah 4:6-7, it talks about the Spirit of Grace. It says, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. Watch this. By my spirit, saith the Lord. Let's find out which of the spirit. Next verse. It says, who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. He shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying what? Grace, grace unto it. He said, by my spirit. And he said, grace, grace. That's the Spirit of Grace. That is, he said, it is by the operation of the Spirit of Grace that that mountain before Zerubbabel shall become a plain. Are you seeing something? Grace will level every mountain. Mountain of sickness, they bow to the grace of God. Are you listening? The shout of the Spirit of Grace will bring down every mountain. Every mountain-like situation, mountain-like problem, mountain-like sickness, mountain-like poverty, lack, mountain-like failure, frustration, affliction, they are coming down by the shout of the Spirit of Grace. The Spirit of Grace. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Grace. You see there in Zechariah 12:10, I will pour upon the house of Judah, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the Spirit of what? Grace and supplication. Hallelujah. Magabaya gadaka brakataya. the spirit of grace and supplication. One of the manifestations, the operation of that spirit of grace there is empowering you to pray, to supplicate. You're able to pray, you're able to supplicate because of the enablement you are receiving from the spirit of grace. Jesus Christ is the grace of God in person. Jesus is the personification of God's grace, is the embodiment of God's grace and the revelation of God's grace. John 1:14. We'll read to 17. John 1:14-17. Glory to God. Are you getting blessed? Are you learning something? Are you learning the unforced rhythms of grace? He said, "And the word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth." Jesus is full of grace and truth. Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." You see that? Jesus is the embodiment of grace. Jesus is grace in person, the personification of God's grace. If you want to know what the grace of God looks like, look at Jesus. Jesus is the revelation of God's grace to humanity. Are you listening? Everything about the grace of God is seen in Jesus. No wonder the Bible says the whole scriptures, they testify of Jesus. And Jesus is full of grace and truth. And Jesus is grace in person. Are you seeing something? Next verse. He said, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him, Christ, saying, "This was him of whom I said." Okay, verse 16. Next verse. "And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace." Whose fullness? Jesus. Who are the we? Those in Christ. Am I communicating? He said, "Of his fullness," or completeness, "we have all received grace for grace." I like the way Amplified put it. Can we have it in Amplified version? Malabako shalabakataya. It says, "For out of his fullness," in bracket, "abundance." And this is our year of abundance. Out of his fullness, abundance, "we have all received," in parenthesis, "all had a share, and we were all supplied with one grace after another, and spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and even favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift." I thought you would shout amen. Amen. Just the reading of that scripture, I'm already blessed. Listen, the picture that Apostle Paul had, let me give you a little glimpse of what he was, not Apostle Paul, John the Beloved, the one that wrote the book of John. The picture that the scripture is trying to paint here for us is like somebody standing by the seashore. Have you ever been to Bar Beach? Eh? Who has been to Bar Beach? Let me see your hand. Good. You stand by the seashore. Can you see the waves? Eh? The crest, the way they come. You know the way the waves come, eh? And then they go back, then they come. Some of those waves bring some things, Abby. Eggshells, periwinkle, crayfish, eh? Talk to me now. All those sea, some sea creatures like that. They bring. No. That was like the picture. It's of his abundance, fullness. We have all received. We've been well supplied. It's one grace. Eh? See it as wave coming like that. And then it brings something for you. Then the next wave come again. Are you seeing that? Grace. Eh? After another. Spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing. Favor heaped upon favor. Eh? Gift heaped upon gift. Are you seeing something? Will you receive them? Higher. Next verse, 17. "For while the law was given through Moses," the Mosaic law, "grace on end, undeserved favor and spiritual blessing and truth," grace and truth came how? Through Jesus. Give me in King James Version. King James Version. The authorized one. He said, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came how? By Jesus. The law was given. Come and collect. Come and collect. Was given. Come and collect. Just give me this. The law. Let's say this is the law. We are acting. The law was given by Moses. Take it to the people. But he said, grace. God did not even trust angels or anybody to bring. He didn't trust any prophet. Grace and truth came. God had to come himself in the person of Jesus. He came. I say he came. He came by Jesus. Jesus was the Word made flesh. He said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Oh, a translation said, the Word put on human, human body and move into the neighborhood. It's talking about the incarnation. Why did God make such decision? Because of his love for us. For God so loved the world. Is it the world of things? No, the world of humanity. That he gave his only begotten son. Love is the mother of grace. The love of God is the foundation for the grace of God. Is the reason for the grace of God. Am I communicating? Because of his marvelous kindness. Hallelujah. Are you learning something? You can visit it, sir. You can bring it back. We are saved by grace through faith. I say we are saved by grace through faith. Ephesians 2 verse 4. Even salvation is impossible without grace. Our self-effort could not save us. Not even the law of Moses could bring salvation. Am I communicating? God tried everything else. It failed. He had to send Jesus, who was the embodiment, personification of God's grace, for God's salvation plan to be worked out. Am I communicating? He said, but God, who is rich in his mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, next verse, even when we were dead in sins, had quickened. That word quickened means to make alive. Okay, to give life. Has quickened us together with Christ. In bracket, by grace ye are saved. Salvation is only possible by grace. No man can save himself. Listen, no matter how morality is good, but morality cannot take anybody to heaven. The best of self-effort, human effort, self-righteousness is still not enough to meet up to God's righteous requirement. That was why Jesus came. That's why he came. Am I communicating? Listen, all the religions in the world, they are trying to earn God's righteousness by their self-effort, by their works. They think by keeping all those religious routines, religious practices, what else? What do they call them? Those they are religious obligations. They think by meeting all those things, God will now be happy with them, and then God will consider them and take them to heaven, Al-Janna. Listen, religion is man's attempt, man's idea, and man's attempt to please God and to and to find God and to fellowship with God is man's idea and man's attempt. But Christianity is God's solution to suffering mankind, is God's way to bring humanity into fellowship with him. Are you seeing something? There is no religion in the world that preaches the forgiveness of sin. None. Go and attempt to ask people of any other religion. Ask them this question. What will you do about your sins? And watch their answer. There is no religion that preaches forgiveness of sin. None. only in Christ, because of what Jesus has done by his sacrifice, on the basis of his sacrifice on the cross, humanity's sins can be forgiven. Are you seeing something? So Christianity is more than a religion. No? Are you seeing something? By grace ye are saved. Next verse. And hath raised us up together. You know, some people are very funny. They think that by the time they do nice things, they help the poor, they give sadaka, they give alms to the poor, they observe fasting, this one, Ramadan, that one, you understand? They live good life. Say me, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't womanize, I don't do all those things, I don't do bad things. You know, I'm just a good person. Now, listen. All of that morality minus Jesus minus this grace of God, there is no salvation for that person. If that person dies in that state, he's going to hellfire. Because when Adam sinned, the whole world became guilty. That person has the sin nature, and that's the primary reason why he is condemned. Are you seeing something? Jesus is the only solution. So when we preach the gospel, we are not telling people, leave your religion, come and join our own. No, we are offering them solution. We are offering them salvation through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the only way. Jesus didn't say, I am a way. He said, I am the way. There's a difference between a way and the way. A way means there are other ways that are correct. But the way means, D is a definite article. This is the only correct way. Any other way is wrong. Why religion is still attempting to find God by their own method, by their own effort and all of that. God in his love has reached out his hand to suffering humanity through Jesus Christ. He has brought grace. And the only question is, will you receive that free gift of salvation? That's what God is asking. And anybody that refuses and rejects it, on the great white throne, on the day of the great white throne judgment, that person will regret it. Because God is going to remind that person. Are you seeing something? And had raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Next verse. He said that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. You see, in the ages to come, in the eons to come. There is a world beyond this world though. I see something. There are so many ages. You see, when we say eternity is infinity. Life without end. Timelessness is a realm of timelessness. You see, it is a summation of so many eons, so many dispensations without end. So he said, in the ages to come, God, that he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. In other words, the riches of God's grace, they are so numerous that we will never exhaust them in this eon. In this world, in this age, we cannot finish it. Are you seeing something? That means throughout eternity, we'll still be enjoying of the riches of his grace. God will still be showcasing it. Are you seeing something? We'll still be seeing revelation of the riches of his grace. He will still be lavishly pouring it upon us. You can never exhaust the riches of his grace. No wonder Apostle Paul uses the term, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Unsearchable. Endless. Fathomless. Exhaustless. It says that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Verse 8. For by grace ye are saved through faith. For by grace ye are saved through faith. This is how we got born again. He said, and that not of yourselves, is not by self effort. Are you seeing something? It's not by your self-righteousness. It was not your self-righteousness that earned you salvation. No man can save himself. No matter your good works. If that was possible, Jesus would not have come. Are you seeing something? He said, not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Salvation is a gift of God. Grace is a gift of God. Next verse. For by not of works, lest any man should boast. So this is why you should be humble. When you know that it is by grace that you are saved through faith, you will be humble. Not by your self effort. How much could you have done that would have earned salvation for you? Talk to me. You couldn't have paid for it. You couldn't meet up to God's righteous requirement. You couldn't satisfy the claims of justice. When you understand that salvation came by grace, it is a gift of God, you will be humble. But if it was your self-effort, your self-righteousness that earned you salvation, you will have been proud. That's why I said, not of works, lest any man should boast. Glory to God. I say glory to God. We are justified in Christ Jesus by His grace. Romans 3:24. Our justification is by grace. We saw that salvation is by grace. Also note that justification is by grace. It said being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Oh, I love this. These are very important foundation for the Christian faith. Are you seeing something? See, when people get born again, these are things they must learn. You learn about faith, you learn about God's grace, you learn about righteousness. You learn. These are very important foundation. Not celestial order, starry order, constellation, potas. You know, you confuse people. Eh? Without this foundation, your Christianity will be a failure. It's very critical. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We are saved by grace, we are justified by the same. By grace. Next verse. Watch this. Whom God has set forth, that's Jesus, to be a propitiation. The word propitiation means sacrifice. Okay? Sacrifice. Propitiation through faith in His blood. To declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. Can you see something? Through the forbearance of God. Next verse. To declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believe in Jesus. Give me this in Amplified. So He said, God is just to declare us righteous in Christ because of what Jesus has done in His redemptive work. Did you see something? His redemption, faith in His blood and His redemptive sacrifice is the legal basis upon which God declares the believer righteous, not by our self-effort. Are you seeing something? It was to demonstrate and prove at the present time, in the now season, that He Himself, that's God, is righteous. That word just means righteous. He is righteous, and that He justifies and accepts as righteous him who has true faith in Jesus. Why? Because of this, the redemption. Because of Jesus' sacrifice on behalf of that person. Are you seeing something? Next verse. Shalabako sofrahadia. You see, no more boasting. Where is boasting then? When you have this understanding, there will be no boasting. You will not be proud. You will not be arrogant. You will not be puffed up like Puff Puff. As if you were the one that paid for yourself. Were you the one that paid for your sins? Were you the one that redeemed yourself? Were you the one that saved yourself? You justify yourself? No. The Bible says Christ is our salvation, our justification, our righteousness. Give me 1 Corinthians 1:31. Everything has to do with Christ.
Am I communicating? Okay, 30. Give me verse 30. Verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us, number one, wisdom. Say with me, Christ is my wisdom. Say it again, Christ is my wisdom. Number two, say Christ is my righteousness. So you don't depend on your righteousness. Your self-righteousness, the Bible says, is filthy rag. Our righteousness, that self-righteousness, is like filthy rag. Prophet Isaiah talked about it. You know filthy rag? In Hebrew, that word filthy rag is menstrual cloth. You know menstrual cloth? The cloth that women used those days. You know those days there were no menstrual pad. In the days of Prophet Isaiah, was there menstrual pad? There was no menstrual pad. So when women are on menses, they were using cloth. Okay? So by the time they remove the cloth that is soaked with menstrual blood, that's what they call filthy rag. That's the meaning of that word. That is how your self-righteousness is to God. It's like menstrual cloth. It is smell. Have you seen something? That was why Jesus came. You could not help yourself. He's annoying God. He says, Christ, say with me, Christ is my wisdom. Christ is my righteousness. The day we got born again, we were made righteous with the same righteousness that Jesus has. You cannot improve upon it. It does not improve or reduce. You only grow in the revelation and understanding of your nature of righteousness. Are you seeing something? Him who knew no sin, God made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. You have that nature. It was imparted to you at new birth. That's why you can stand before God, stand before Satan and demons, stand before the world, stand before anybody with boldness and confidence. You have right standing with God because of that nature of righteousness. Are you getting me? It's what makes you born again. It's what makes you a saint. It's what makes you just and righteous. What makes a sinner is because of the sin nature that he was born with, that was contacted all the way from Adam, the first fallen man. What makes a believer righteous is the nature of righteousness inside him. Now, when you understand this, then it will now start affecting your thinking. It will affect your talking. You will think that way, you will talk that way, you will now behave that way. Your actions and your habits will now align. You will now start living a right of holiness. So it is righteousness that powers holiness. The doctrine of righteousness is not against holiness. In fact, you can never live a life of holiness if you are not righteous. The holiness is possible because of righteousness. Without that nature of righteousness, you cannot live right. You cannot do right. Are you seeing something? Trying to live a holy life, trying to live in holiness without having the nature of righteousness, is like telling a cat to bark like a dog. It's not possible. So this is how believers will live holy lives more. When they first understand that they've been made the righteousness of God, when they understand first that they have that nature of righteousness, they will now start renewing their mind with those revelations, and then it will now affect their thinking. They will think like a righteous person. They will now start talking that way. They will now start acting, behaving that way. It will now show in their behavior and actions. Are you getting me? But it's a waste of time if you don't make people understand that they've been made righteous in Christ based on the sacrifice of Jesus. You fail to tell them that, you are not telling them to live holy lives.
it's going to be a very tall, it will be a struggle. Because the person will be plagued with sin consciousness. How can you live a life of holiness when you are sin conscious? Talk to me, is that possible? Say with me, I receive grace to be righteousness conscious, not to be sin conscious. Because anything you are conscious of, you will keep doing. If you are sin conscious all the time, you will remain in bondage to sin. You will keep struggling with sin. But if you are conscious of who you are in Christ, you've been made righteous in Christ, you will what? Live righteous life. Are you getting my point? Say with me again, Christ is my wisdom. Say again, Christ is my righteousness. Then Christ is my sanctification. Say, Christ is my redemption. Hallelujah. I'm enjoying this one. Take this definition. What is grace? What is grace? Grace is from the Greek word charis. Charis literally means favor. Charis means favor. Okay? It means favor. Glory to God. Give me Genesis 6:8. The very first time the word grace appears in the Bible, it literally meant favor. When was the first time the word grace was mentioned in the Bible? It was in Genesis 6:8. In the midst of the corruption, the wickedness, the evil that had filled the whole world, humanity's wickedness, and God, the Bible says God was grieved in his heart. Because of the wickedness and lawlessness, the Bible says the imagination, every thought in the heart of man was evil continually. Proudly sponsored by those fallen angels that came and married and had sexual relation with the sons of men and taught humanity new ways of sinning against God. They taught humanity new ways of doing evil. The Bible says God regretted, he repented, it grieved his heart. And in the midst of that, but Noah. Is it the word but has to do with exemption? That's to tell you that the grace of God brings about supernatural exemption. Hi! Say one bag of rice now is how many thousand? But look at Satlong. Hey, are you getting the principle? Understand the principle. Hi. Are you getting the principle now? Economic hardship everywhere. Darkness shall cover the earth, but the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen. There is always exemption for the people of God because of grace. The new covenant we have is a covenant of grace, ratified by the blood of Jesus. It brings about supernatural exemption from the calamities, tragedies, the darkness of this world. The darkness of this world is not your darkness. It's not your darkness. Stop thinking like the people of the world. Renew your mind. Are you getting me? In the midst of all this, but Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Give me in NIV. Let's see the NIV translation. NIV uses the word favor. It said, but Noah found favor. You see, the first time the word grace appears, literally it means favor. Favor. Give me in NLT, New Living Translation. He found favor in the eyes of God. But Noah found favor. NLT uses favor again. Then amplified version. But Noah found grace in bracket favor. Can it be clearer than this? Can it be clearer than this? Say with me, I have found favor with God. In the midst of economic hardship, I have found favor with God. And because of this favor, I flourish in the midst of famine. Because of this favor, I command abundance. I enjoy abundance in the midst of lack. Are you seeing this? The favor of God brings about divine exemption. Exemption from judgment. Are you seeing this? Exemption from every form of negative judgment that plagued the earth realm. Noah was exempted from the flood. God told him to make an ark. And that ark, say him and his whole family and his the wives of his children, eight of them were saved in that ark. In a, eight human beings plus all those animals that God said Noah should put inside in twos. Now look at it. We were told in the New Testament, Peter, Apostle Peter said that ark is a type of Christ. If you are inside the ark called Christ, you don't need to be afraid of any evil or darkness in this world. You are safe. The same, listen, the same judgmental flood of Noah, that same flood that destroyed the then world, flood of judgment that wiped out every living thing, was that same flood that carried, suspended, and supported the ark above the ground. What does that tell you? What kills and destroys others will become like a stepping stone for you to rise. Are you seeing something? Why? Because of that supernatural exemption by grace. Because God has favored you. Because you are graced in Christ. What destroys others will end up helping you. You are not getting this. It brings about divine exemption. Exemption from poverty, lack, scarcity. Exemption from sickness, disease. Exemption from death, devastation, and destruction. The grace of God is a mark of exemption upon the believer. Eight people were saved because they were in the ark, exempted by God's grace. God gave to Noah what we call preferential treatment. Did you notice? In the midst of judgment, God gave Noah exemption, preferential treatment. Why? Favor. You know, when God favors you, you enjoy preferential treatment. The favor of God gives you preferential treatment. It will single you out of the queue. It will single you out of the crowd for good. Are you seeing something? God treated Noah and those in the ark with him differently. That is how God treats us differently in Christ. I say God treats us differently. He gives us preferential treatment. Why? Because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of the covenant of grace. I told you the new covenant is a covenant of grace based on the finished work of Christ. Hallelujah. Kelabakasaya. Breketoskapa. In Isaiah 61, it says, "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you." Now, when did he say you should arise and shine? Though darkness cover the earth, guess what? The darker the night, the brighter we shine. You know, you appreciate light more in the midst of darkness. And the thicker the darkness, the brighter the light. Even the minutest light will become so bright in the midst of thick darkness. Are you seeing something? Shakabaya. Behold, Prophet Isaiah saw the darkness shall cover the earth. He didn't say the church. And gross darkness the people. He didn't say believers. But the Lord shall, but he's talking of supernatural exemption. But the Lord shall arise upon you. In other words, in the midst of that darkness and gross darkness, you will have a different experience because of the glory of God, the grace of God that is released upon you. Can you shout amen? Amen. His glory shall be seen upon thee. The Gentiles shall come to your life. In other words, the period of darkness for the people of the world is coinciding with your period of shining. It's your opportunity to shine. The darkness in the world is your God-given opportunity to shine. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the light." Shining means provide supernatural solution. Shining means lead others to Christ. Are you seeing this? No wonder he said the Gentiles shall come to your light, the people of the world, the unsaved non-Jewish world, and then kings, nobles, governors, presidents, potentates, they will come to the brightness of your rising, because you will become a custodian of divine solution. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
This is very important. Do you know all those plagues that plagued the Egyptians, did they affect the Israelites? The Israelites were there, but they were unaffected. How can you explain it? If not the grace of God, there was a divine exemption from all those 10 plagues that the Egyptians suffered. There was darkness in the Egyptian camp and land, but there was light where the children of Israel is. All those plague of flies, frogs, all of that, it didn't touch the children of Israel. Somebody said divine exemption. And Egypt is a type of the world. Israel is a type of the church. We are exempted by covenant from every calamity, tragedy, death, destruction, and devastation. Every darkness the people of the world are experiencing is not for us. Rather, we are the solution to it. Are you seeing something? Even during those 7 years of famine, you remember when Joseph was prime minister, during 7 years of famine, when hunger became sapa, is it sapa? Was so much in the land, the Egyptians were offering themselves to Joseph. He said, buy us. By the time they have sold their land, they have finished all their money. In fact, the Bible says money failed in Egypt. They needed food. Nothing else to trade for food. They say, buy us. Just buy us, buy us, buy us, give us food. They were ready to be sold just to get food. All these things was happening, but look, the Bible says, but the children of Israel dwelt in Goshen, and they multiplied, and they increased exceedingly. How can you explain it? No hunger. Hunger did not, sakpa no reach their place. I want you to have a different mentality. Think differently. I've taught you before, God's ethnic division, scripturally, of the human race is only three. 1 Corinthians 10:32. Let me show you. And throughout the whole Bible, God's dealing with the human race is unique based on these three divisions. He deals with them uniquely. God has unique dealings with them. And when you read the Bible, read it with this understanding. Know when God is speaking to the church. Know when God is speaking to the Jews. Know when God is talking to the Gentiles. Look at it. He said, give none offense, neither to the Jews. Number one, the Jew. Why? He gave them the first covenant. Number two, the Gentiles. Who are the Gentiles? Those, the non-Jewish unsaved world of humanity. Anybody that is not a Jew and is not born again is called a Gentile. Number three, the church of Jesus Christ. Anybody that has confessed the lordship of Jesus, that is born again, is a member of the church. Whether he was a Gentile before or a Jew before, the moment he confesses with a believing heart the lordship of Christ, is a member of the church, is born again. All through the Bible, this is how God deals with his three ethnic division of the human race. If you read the Bible with this understanding, you will not be making the mistake people make. So when you read about some things, ask yourself, is it talking to the church? Is it talking to the Gentiles? Or is it talking to the Jews? Are you getting my point? Eh? Kalabaya. For instance, let me give you a good one. In Matthew 24, when Jesus was talking about eschatology event, you know, some people picked that scripture where the Bible says, except those days of tribulation, except they were shortened. He said, even the elect may not even be saved. And then he talked about the multiplied false Christ that will arise, that we claim they are Christ to deceive many, that is even the elect may even be deceived. Now, the problem there is that word elect. Who is the elect? Now, those that believe in the mid-tribulation rapture theory or the post-tribulation rapture, that's those that believe the church will go through tribulation. The mid-tribulation believe the church will go through those 7 years of tribulation. Then in the midst, the church will be raptured. The post-tribulation theory people, they say the church will go through the whole 7 years. Then after the 7 years, the church will be raptured. They will be quoting scripture like that out of context. When the Bible is talking of the elect there, it's not talking of the church. It's talking of the Jews that will get born again after the rapture of the church. So you need to have more perfect understanding of the Bible. Glory to God. I say glory to God. It's just like one prophecy that Isaiah gave. He said, this end time, he said, seven women, we tell one man that we want to marry you. Just marry us. Let us just bear your name. Because there will be scarcity of husbands. Some people will even quote it and use it as an excuse for polygamy. See, Prophet Isaiah prophesied that this entire husbands go scarce. That seven women will be begging one man, let us just marry you and bear your name. We will eat our bread. In other words, we have our money. We will take care of ourselves. You don't need to give us chop money or what do they call it? Baby maintenance fee. He said, we have our own money. Just marry us. But is Isaiah talking to the church? You see the problem. Believers, so they will quote it to justify being third wife or fourth wife. You see, even the Bible. I've told you, when you read your Bible, read it with this understanding. Number one, the Jews. He gave them first covenant. Number two, Gentiles. He didn't give them any covenant. Number three, the church. He gave them the new. It's as simple as that. The Bible is a book of covenant. Glory to God. Are we learning something? What is grace? It's from charis. It means favor. It means kindness. It means goodness. It means benevolence. God's grace means God's favor, God's kindness, God's goodness, God's benevolence. It's benevolent love. Okay? Now let's look at some concrete definition. What is grace? Number one, the grace of God refers to all the blessings and benefits of the finished work of Christ. All the blessings and benefits of the finished work of Christ. Ephesians 1:3. All those spiritual blessings that we've been blessed in heavenly places with, all that accrue to believers in Christ as a result of the substitutionary sacrifice, the redemptive work of Christ on our behalf, all those benefits that accrue to believers as a result of the redemptive work of Christ, okay, wrought on our behalf. So he's talking of all our blood-bought inheritance. He said, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So grace refers to all those spiritual blessings, okay, we enjoy in Christ. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8, Amplified Version. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8. What is grace? Grace is God's favor, kindness, goodness, benevolence. I've talked about this earlier. Bestowed upon believers on the basis of the finished work of Christ. Grace is God's favor, kindness, goodness, benevolence, bestowed upon believers on the basis of the finished work of Christ. 2 Corinthians 9:8. God is able to make all grace. See meaning of grace in brackets. Can you see the meaning? In brackets. Help me. 1, 2, 3, go. Every favor and earthly blessing. So that every favor and earthly blessing is referring to grace. God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance. Hallelujah. So that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. Can you shout amen? Amen. What is grace? Grace is the divine influence upon the human heart and its outward reflection in the life of that person.
Grace is the divine influence upon the human heart and its outward reflection in the life of the person. Listen, grace is spiritual in nature. You can't see it with your eyes. That divine influence upon somebody's heart. And then the outward reflection, just like the wind. You can't see the wind, but you can see the effect of the wind. When wind is blowing, you see the effect, right? You see paper flying, you see some trees moving and all of that, some things shaking, but you cannot see the wind itself. When grace is at work, you can't see it with these unaided optical eyes, but you can see the effect in the life of the person. It can manifest as prosperity, it can manifest as good health, as divine strength, it can manifest as wisdom, as favor. Am I communicating? You can see the effect reflected in the life of the person. What is grace? Grace is God's ability, comma, energy, comma, enablement or empowerment to effectively and efficiently execute your God-given assignment, calling, purpose, and destiny. I take it again. Grace is God's ability, energy, enablement, or empowerment to effectively and efficiently execute your God-given assignment, calling, purpose, or destiny. Look at this. You cannot fulfill your divine purpose, your divine calling, your ministry, your life assignment without the grace of God. Impossible. You cannot. When God gives you any assignment, He gives you the grace, the ability. God sponsors men with His grace. God does not send people with money. He sends them with grace. Grace is a spiritual currency that He gives you to fulfill your divine destiny. Am I communicating? It's there in form of divine empowerment. It's there in form of divine enablement. Give me 1 Timothy 1 verse 12. 1 Timothy 1 verse 12. Grace is that divine ability, that supernatural energy that enables you to do and accomplish what is humanly impossible. Grace is not just pardon. It is both pardon and power. I say grace is both pardon and power. Glory to God. It's an enablement. Look at what Apostle Paul wrote. He says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who had enabled me. How did Jesus enable him? By His grace. So grace is a divine enabler. Who had enabled me, for He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Next verse. Who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, an injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Next verse. He said, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Can you shout amen? Amen. Can you imagine Paul, the former murderer, former terrorist, religious zealot, became a frontline apostle that wrote close to 2/3 of the New Testament. Mightily use of God like that. Paul attributed it to the grace of God. He says, who has enabled me? God enabled him. Jesus enabled him by His grace. No wonder 1 Corinthians 15:10, Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. In other words, Paul is saying, I'm a grace-made man. You know, we have man-made men. We have self-made men. Then we have grace-made men. Three kinds of men. Number one, self-made men. That's people that will tell you, I was self-made. They attribute their success and greatness to their self-effort, their hard work, their ability, as if it's not God that gave them the oxygen they are breathing. Then we have those that are man-made men. That means it was other men that made them. Yet those men that made them in form of their godfathers, especially this politician. Yeah, I made you. You know, I put you in that seat. When I cough, you do what I do. You do what I say. Say, give this person a job, even if the person is not qualified. I have spoken. Why? I was the one that put you in that position.
self-made men. They give the glory to other people. But look at what Paul is saying. Paul is saying that I'm not a self-made man. I'm not a man-made man. I am a grace-made man. The grace of God is a secret behind my making. Somebody have rightly said, grace is God in the race of destiny. Are you getting me? That you are running with God in the race. Eh? Am I communicating? It changes the whole dynamics. Grace, somebody has put it this way, using those acronyms, G. It says, God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. It came at the expense of Jesus' sacrifice. Are you seeing something? Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. I labored more abundantly than they all. He said, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. In other words, the grace was empowering me, strengthening me to do the labor. Are you seeing something? So grace gives you divine strength. Grace gives you divine ability. Grace gives you divine energy. Grace gives you divine enablement. You see, Paul was able to do all the things he did because he was supernaturally empowered by the grace of God. Give me Colossians 1 verse 29. In the Amplified Version. Are you learning something? You can't fulfill your divine destiny without the grace of God. You cannot become everything God have ordained for you to become without the grace of God. He said, for this I labor unto weariness, striving with all the superhuman energy. Watch this. That superhuman energy there is talking of the workings of God's grace. That superhuman energy is referring to the grace of God at work in him. That divine influence inside of him. He says, I strive with all the superhuman energy which is so mightily enkindles and works within me. Can you shout amen? So grace gives you ability. It gives you divine energy. Ephesians 3:20. He says, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask. Or you think according to the power that worketh in us. That power that worketh in us is the grace of God. It's a working of grace. Are you seeing that? Grace is Christ's sufficiency given to us in him. 2 Corinthians 3:5. Is it not that we are sufficient of ourselves as to think anything as coming from ourselves? But our sufficiency is what? Is of God. That sufficiency there is talking of the grace of God. Say with me, the grace of God is my sufficiency. God has made me sufficient by his grace in Christ Jesus. So the grace of God swallows up your deficiencies. The grace of God swallows up your weaknesses. No wonder Apostle Paul said, when I feel weak, then am I strong. Why? Because of the grace of God. It swallows up your weaknesses. Glory to God. Jude has only one chapter from verse 1. I round up with this. Are you learning the unforced rhythms of grace already? This series will bless you. Kali Bokosa. This is the food of champions. You can't be listening to this kind of message and be a weak and a beggarly Christian. Your faith will become strong and robust. You'll be built up. It's the word of his grace that builds people up. Am I communicating? He said, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus and called. Next verse. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Next verse. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Praise God. Next verse, verse 4. I'm going somewhere. It says, for there are certain men, follow carefully, there are certain men, for there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men. Now watch this. He said, turning the grace of our God into what? Lasciviousness. Come on now. That word lasciviousness also means licentiousness. Licentiousness. Praise God. It means licentiousness. That word lasciviousness also means filthiness, lawlessness. Praise God. Anyhow living. Licentiousness is like license to sin. Have you heard some people say, I don't like this grace message. I don't like this grace message. It's as if we are giving people license to sin. Now listen. The grace of Jesus, does it teach people to sin? Or does it encourage sinning? Does it give people license to sin? The Bible says there are certain people. These are the heretics. These are the people. You see them? He said they are turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. We'll analyze this scripture and then we end with this. Praise God. I said that word lasciviousness, it means licentiousness. It also means unbridled lust. Unbridled lust. Okay? It means excess. Excess of anything. Okay? It means wantonness. Wantonness. It means filthiness. Hallelujah. Now, I'm interested in this particular word, turning. This word turning, okay? I need two protocol people. Please let me bring this board. Just put it there. I want to write something now. Now, a little study will help in this verse. Why am I doing this? Because this will help you understand better, okay? When some people say the teaching of grace is like giving people license to sin. But that's not what the Bible teaches. That's not true. Am I communicating? No. I didn't say bring it here. Just put it. Take it back. Put it against that. Look at my hand. Straight. Like this. Straight. Straight. Okay. Bring it a bit. Yeah. There. No. Shouldn't go too far. Just like that. Thank you. Now, that word turning, those that are turning the grace of God into licentiousness, turning it into license to sin anyhow, do anyhow. Yes, some people we are now born again. Thank God we are saved by grace. We can do anyhow. We can do it. If you do anyhow, you go see anyhow. We can go to party, go to nightclub. Get down on me. Get down on me. Yeah. Get down on who? If we catch you. Yeah, era of grace, get down on me. If we catch you. You see, people have misunderstood scriptures. Let's do a little study. Now, the Greek word, who are you even getting down on, self? That person na mumu, we did it down. Now, listen. The Greek word, turn, I like the word. Is meta. Praise God. Is meta. Metatitemi. Praise God. Interesting. Even though it is pronounced as metatifemi, but just go with this one. Metatitemi. Praise God. That's a Greek word for that word, turning. That word turning. Praise God. In Jude
chapter 1 verse 4. Now, let's check. What's the meaning of that word? Let's check the synonym, metatitemi. That word means to transpose. Number one, it means to transpose. You know the word transpose? As in, to exchange something for, are you getting me? For something else. Are you seeing that? To transpose in bracket two things, one of which is put in place of the other. To transpose of two things, one of which is placed, one of which is put in place of the other, one of which is put in place of the other. Okay. Number two, that word metatitemi also means to exchange, to change or exchange. Praise God. It means to change. It also means to exchange. Next, that word metatitemi, whether it is the Tyre's definition or the Strong's, you see all this meaning there. It means to transfer. Another meaning is to transfer. Okay? It also means to transfer. Praise God. Are we together? That word metatitemi also means to change sides. I've mentioned change sides, right? Okay? To pervert, to carry over, remove, translate, okay? Let me just bring remove. Okay? Carry over. Praise God. Carry over. Pervert. Praise God. They are all synonym of that word. Praise God. It also means, okay, I've mentioned change sides. Transfer, transport. Another word is transport. Did I? Okay, transfer, transport. Praise God. Now, okay, let's go back to the verse. You will understand it better now. Those that say grace is giving people license to sin, they like to quote scriptures like this. Let's correct some things here. It says, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were what? Who were of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning. Now is metatitemi. See, the best word there is actually remove. They are removing the grace of God. They are transposing the grace of God. They are exchanging the grace of God for lasciviousness. Are you getting the point? Are you getting it? That's actually what this scripture is saying. It's not that the grace of God is the problem that is making them lascivious. Mm-mm. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that these people are exchanging the grace of God. Are you seeing this? Because listen, the grace of God is the cure for sin. The grace of God does not teach you to sin, neither does it encourage sin. Rather, it is the power to even stop sinning. Now, the Bible says sin shall not have dominion over you, because you are not under the law, you are under grace, right? So the power to live above sin is actually the grace of God. We say grace is divine ability. There is saving grace, there is enabling grace. Grace enables you to live a life of righteousness and holiness. Give me Titus 2 verse 9. Titus 2 verse 9. Are you learning something? So that word, okay, 2:9, okay, 10. Titus 2:10. 11. Give me 11. There's something I'm looking. Okay. He said, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation. Remember, we are saved by grace through faith. The grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men,
Next verse. He said, teaching us that, what does grace teach us to do? Denying ungodliness. So you see that grace does not promote anyhow living. It does not promote sinful life. Can you see something? He said, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. And one of the meaning of lasciviousness is unbridled lust. Can you see something? So what these false teachers of grace have done is that they have exchanged the true grace of God for lasciviousness. They have transposed it. Are you seeing something? They have removed the grace of God and they are promoting lasciviousness, which is the real problem. Are you seeing? Teaching us, this is what grace teaching us, to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and that we should live how? Anyhow? We should live anyhow. How should we live? We should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. This is what grace teaches. And grace does not just teach this, it enables you to do it. Because it is divine strength, divine enablement, divine empowerment. Can you shout amen? Amen. Listen, grace is greater than sin. No wonder scripture says where sin abound, grace did much more abound. Why? Because grace is the cure for sin. Grace is not the cause of sin. Neither is it the license to sin. Rather, it is the cure, the antidote, the solution to sin. Rise to your feet. We'll continue from here next week. Am I communicating? Shagabagabagadaya. Lefreketonekidakapa. We are learning of the unforced what? Redeems of grace. The unforced redeems of grace. Give me Galatians 1:6. Let me show you something interesting. Galatians 1:6. Paul. Writing to the church in Galatians, he says, I marvel. Some Bible scholars call this apostolic astonishment. I marvel. The apostle is astonished. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Listen. It might interest you to know something. That word remove is metatitemi. Is that word? Is that same word, metatitemi? So, what these people have done is that they have removed the grace of God and they are now promoting something else and now making people to believe that. You see my anger against them. Are you seeing something? Even Paul, these people were around in the days of Paul. No, be today is that. It don't take. He said, I marvel ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Next verse. He said, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and we pervert the gospel of Christ. So it's a perverted version. It's a perverted gospel that these people that have removed the grace of God that are preaching. So-called hyper-grace gospel. That hyper-grace gospel, it has nothing to do with the grace of God. Let me tell you the truth. It is actually a metatitemi. They have removed the true grace of God. And they are promoting something else. Next verse. But though we are an angel, Paul said, even if we that preach about the grace of God, even if me, I come back tomorrow and I'm countering what I'm preaching, I'm preaching another gospel. Don't believe me, oh. Paul said, though an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. In the New Testament, this is the only time the word curse appears. When somebody is trying to remove you from the grace of God, preach another gospel, he says, let him be accursed. There is a scriptural curse on the person. The curse is anointed and endorsed by God. Next verse. There is no generational curse, no ancestral curse in the New Testament. This is the real curse. He said, as we have said before, so I said now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that we have received, let him be accursed. Anathema Maranatha. Let him be cursed till Jesus comes. Anathema Maranatha. That's the meaning. The curse will last until Jesus comes. Maybe when Jesus comes, Jesus will decide to pity and pardon the person. I don't know. Next verse. Do I now seek to persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. We are not called to be men pleasers. We are called to be Christ pleasers. Next verse. He said, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Next verse. He said, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Next verse. He said, for ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of Christ and wasted it. Then you see Paul going to narrate his history. I want you to lift up your voice. Give me that 1 Corinthians 15:10 again. Paul said, I am a grace made man. The grace of God is behind the success story of every giant in the kingdom of God. No great man ever emerges in God's kingdom without the workings of great grace in their life. Are you listening? The grace of God is a secret behind the making of giants in the kingdom. In this kingdom, there are no achievers. It's a kingdom of people that are engraced. It's nothing but the grace of God at work. It's not idea. We don't achieve things in our ability. It's the grace of God. Should I tell you something? Your destiny is at the mercy of the level of grace God releases upon you. Destiny is at the mercy of grace. Are you ready to pray this prayer now? You can never fulfill destiny. You cannot go further than the grace of God at work in your life. You can't even command results beyond the level of grace you are operating with. But the good thing is that grace can be increased. No wonder he said, grow in grace. Are you seeing something? Grace is in level. He says, of his fullness we have received grace for grace. Everybody came here with a particular level of grace. But this is an opportunity to upgrade, to move up, to increase that level, to move to the next level. Are you ready to pray? And one of the platform, apart from the word of God, of course, and maybe by next week I'll start entering growing in grace and how you multiply the grace of God through the knowledge of God, through the word of God, through the understanding of God's word. And then of course prayer is a platform. We were here on Friday and I showed you from scripture how the apostle prayed their way from regular grace to great grace. Grace can be increased on the platform of prayer. Hebrews 4:16, let us there come boldly unto the throne of grace. That's the headquarters of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. How did I even forget this definition of grace? Grace is supernatural help of God. To receive grace to help in time of need. So anytime you are in need, the grace of God is the answer to your every need. Run to the throne of grace. Access grace. Grace is waiting for you there. Grace is supernatural help. Paul said, having obtained help of God. Thank God for the man of God that came here. My brother, he said it's a season of what? Supernatural help. What a word. And he's talking of the grace of God. And it's our month of great grace. That means great help is coming our way. And when God is helping you, who else will not help you? People will help you. Destiny helpers will rise for you. A host, an army of destiny helpers. They will come from the north, the south, the east, and the west. They will help you. Are you listening? The Bible talks about King Uzziah. He was marvelously helped of God until he became strong. Oh, can I prophesy to somebody? This is your season. This season of great grace is a season of great help.
God is rising to help you like never before. Receive help from above. Receive marvelous help. You are marvelously helped of God. Because of that, you will do exploits. What people say cannot be done, Ayagabaligo Barakatai, by the workings of the grace of God, you will do it cheaply. You will do it effortlessly. Where nobody has ever reached, the grace of God will take you there. You will break old records and set new records. In your family, in your community, in your school, in your career, the grace of God is empowering you to break old records and set new records. You are breaking forth to the right. You are breaking forth to the left. Help is rising for you from everywhere. Kaleboko Sataya. He said, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Is somebody ready to ask God for help? Are you ready to make demand upon the grace of God that we meet your every need, to bring about supernatural help for your every need? So many people here, some of you have financial need, some of you have health need, some of you need healing, some of you have needs in your academic needs, you have needs in your job, in your business, you have so many needs. But the good news is that the grace of God is available. Great grace for great help. Lift up your voice and begin to make demand for grace, the reign of grace. Likabaka Sataya. We have come before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Likabatose peletena, rakabatose brendekepa, agabalaka tuza balatana. Are you praying? Mandekeba, agabatiza la brandekepa, lakabrakata. Help is coming for us. Help is coming for me. Apostle Paul say, having obtained help of God, I continue on to this day. Liketose peletena. Kalabashata. Make sure you are praying. Redisco frakatina. Leke balatia. Every need you have, the grace of God is the answer. Every need you have, the grace of God is available to help. Your marriage, you may have marital needs, school fees needs, rent needs, academic needs, needs in your business. The grace of God is the answer. It will provide help for you. Yet there seems to be no help. The grace of God is causing destiny helpers to rise for you. A mighty host, they are coming day by day. Day by day, they are coming from the north, from the south, from the east, from the west. They are coming. Shalabaka Satana. We are marvelously helped of God in this season. We enjoy marvelous help from the throne of grace. We enjoy God's marvelous kindness. God has shown us his marvelous kindness in a strong city. Kalabashata Lebreketoska. Psalm 31 verse 21. Ligabakasata. We say grace means favor. Grace means marvelous kindness. Grace, Ayagavalataya, talks about God's goodness. Talks about God's mercy. Talks about God's benevolent love. He said, blessed be the Lord who has shown me his marvelous kindness. This is a manifestation of grace in a strong city. Some people say the city of justice is a strong city. People don't make it here. People don't make it big. That for you to make it big, for you to blow, you have to come out of this town. It's a lie, oh, it's a lie. You can blow in this town. You can become a billionaire in this town. You can become massive and big for God in this town. Ligabaya. He said, blessed be the Lord, who has shown me his marvelous kindness in this strong city of Jos. In fact, the city is no longer strong for us. We have taken the city by the favor of God, by the marvelous kindness of God. Lift up your voice and begin to declare, the Lord has shown me. Come on, prophesy. The Lord has shown me his marvelous kindness. I enjoy his marvelous kindness in this city of Jos, in this Nigeria. I don't need to jackpot to make it. The grace of God has made me Lagabatoseke Palatai. Every mountain of failure and disappointment, mountain of depression and discouragement, they come crashing down by the workings of God's grace. Kabalado sofrekete lemanda, angra kapalakido sofrekete. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. All eyes closed, all heads bow. What a marvelous presence in this place. If you are in this place, I want to give opportunity to anyone that wants to surrender their life to Jesus to receive the free gift of salvation. The Bible says we are saved by grace. We are saved by grace through faith. The blood of Jesus has paid the price for our salvation. And Jesus is offering that free gift of salvation to everyone that will believe him. If you are here and you are yet to accept that free gift of salvation, I want to give you this opportunity. I want you to lift up your right hand wherever you are. Lift up your right hand wherever you are. And if you are lifting up your right hand, can you carry your Bible, your bag, everything you came here with? Just meet me in front. I'm going to lead you to Jesus, including those following online. Shaka baso frakapataya. Jesus is offering the free gift of salvation. He has paid for it with his own blood. God bless you. God bless you. Your works cannot save you. Your goodness is not good enough. According to God's righteous requirement, it says, by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in the sight of God. Now, those of you in front, I want you to say this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, believe it from the depth of your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died for me. On the third day, you were raised for my justification. I confess with my mouth that you are my Lord and Savior. I received the free gift of salvation. I receive eternal life into my spirit. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Congratulations, congratulations. God bless you. Celebrate them. Congratulations. Watch them. God is going to use them mightily.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glowy generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Sazon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you. We'll be right back.